Hello,
and welcome to another episode of Endeavors. Just a programming note, the last couple weeks have had only one episode per week, not two, and will probably happen for the next week or so. Just in the final crunch for my theater show, which opens in about 2.5 weeks, and I've been doing a lot of writing and tweaking, so I've been really devoting to that and haven't been as quite on the ball with interview requests and actually getting interviews as I would like to have been. So that's why there's been less content, I guess, coming out recently. But it is a really good show today. We have a feature-length interview. Many of you probably don't know. I mean, if you grew up with me, you might. But the art of dance has always been, I guess, an important aspect, influence in my life. My mother was a former professional ballerina. She studied and then went on to teach at the National Ballet School. And then my brother studied there as well. And when I was younger, I took 2 years of ballet, jazz, funk, and hip hop, and was later able to use it in musical theater. So it's definitely always been something that has been an important part of my life. And today, my guest is a dancer from here in Toronto. He goes by the name of Connor Mitten. And he's part of a really cool new dance performance with a great company called Citadel and Company. But that's company C-U-M-P-A-G-N-I-E. And it's a dual performance called Elvis and The Man in Black. And it's dance and performance pieces. One is set to the tune of the music of Elvis, and the other is set to the music of Johnny Cash. And it's a brilliant look at how music and dance play so well together. We get into Elvis has always been very danceable music, you know, rock and roll, but very, very bluesy rock and roll, and you know, very much black music. And Johnny Cash, though, not so much. It's sort of the other side of the coin. And so it's a very interesting way of looking at the relationship between contemporary music, modern dance, and classical dance. The show by Citadel and Company, as I mentioned, goes up, starts on May the 2nd to the 5th, and then May again on the 9th to the 12th. So this is my conversation with dancer Connor Mitten. Connor Mitten, hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice and early for us artists, huh?
It is.
So, you're part of the Citadel and Company's Looking for Elvis.
I am.
And The Man in Black.
Yep.
Running in a couple of weeks. This is interesting. Elvis, I can definitely see, is very danceable music.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think of Johnny Cash as you know, one that can, you know, one that you move to in choreography. What was the process like dancing to those two very different artists?
Well, I would say, starting with Elvis, I would say, like you said, it is very movable. So the creative process, I wasn't originally casted in the original cast, so I wasn't actually part of the creative process. But coming in, there's a lot more freedom that you have, especially with your body, and you can move in a certain way. Whereas with The Men in Black, Johnny Cash, it's very like subtle on the beat. Like it's not something that you have the same freedom with, and it's a lot more, I want to say, simple movement wise, but both have completely different. Like they're just completely different pieces.
You know, I think when people think of modern dance, and certainly the more technically adept dances like ballet or jazz, they don't necessarily think of it being danced to this type of music,
right?
Necessarily. How do you think those contrasting styles play well against each other?
Well, I think with Elvis, I mean, a lot of the music, like, yeah, you know, it's you wouldn't necessarily see a modern dance movement to it, but I think when you do, it brings alive a different view of what maybe Elvis wanted to say in his songs. So like people listening to the songs are going to think something different than if you're listening to the song while a modern dancer is doing movement to it. It might bring a different quality. It might make the audience feel something a little bit deeper than just listening to the music itself. I think with Men in Black, we wear cowboy boots for that piece, and it's a lot of like we're walking on the tempo of Johnny Cash. There's a lot of contact with each of our dancers, and I think just with his music and the relationship between the dancers that we have on stage, I think that they go kind of hand in hand together. I think the audience is going to find that really interesting.
You know, Johnny Cash, as you mentioned, is very, very structured in terms of its beat. And modern dance can be very technical, but also a little bit loose at the same time. So how do you play against something that doesn't necessarily have a set rhythm? Again, something that's very, very rigid and structured.
Right. Well, I would honestly, for Men in Black, I would say that the piece is very structured. That's the way James Kadelka wanted it. There's not really any freedom to be off the music. If you're not on the music, the whole group is kind of off. It's a piece that we're pretty much connected the entire time. If one person decides, you know what, I'm going to try something new, or I'm going to do something creative for this performance, it throws the whole piece off. Whereas for Elvis, there is a little bit more freedom for that, especially with the music. Like you said, I'm doing the role of Michael Caldwell for one of the performances, who's the original cast member. And me and him have very different timing for certain things. So there's a lot more freedom in that piece for sure.
When you're sort of inhabiting a role that somebody else plays, in especially something that's been very choreographed.
Yeah.
How much of your own, you know, personality, style, ideas can you bring, and how much do you look at what he did when you're performing?
When performing, I would say during the process of learning, I would look at his stuff very closely. Try to get it exactly how he did it. And then slowly as the rehearsals go on, I can kind of bring in my own thing. When performing, I think as long as we're still together on the music, like when he's going and I'm going, as long as we're like within the same sort of area during the music, no one's going to notice a difference. And I think it's honestly important for each dancer too to have their own kind of creative movement within the piece as well. We don't want to be exactly like the same.
How well do you think ballet and Elvis go together?
Ballet and Elvis. Well, I think I guess I'm a ballet dancer as well. But I think a lot of the dancers that are in it aren't necessarily ballet trained. I think ballet-trained dancers would be great in this piece. Like Tyler Gledhill, for example, is a very... and Luke Garwood as well. They're very ballet-trained. Both do an amazing job in this piece. And I would say myself, I'm more of a modern contemporary artist. And I think just having the contrast of dances in there as well, some modern, some ballet, I think it makes it very interesting as well.
What do you think it is about these two artists? They're definitely considered not only music icons, but icons of American and pop culture.
Yeah.
What is it about these two artists that you think not only has stood the test of time, but also speaks well to seep into other mediums like dance.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a good question. I think Elvis speaks about many different things, about love, about problems within society, and I think it's still relevant to today's world. And I think us as dancers, we like to try and show these problems as well through movement. So I think it's very similar. And I guess with Man in Black, the relevancy of what he was speaking to at the time is very different than how it is now. His music is all about working class, the working grit. Back in the day, farms, working hard, being dirty, and I mean, it's not necessarily relevant in today's society, especially with dance. I've never been on a farm in my life, but I think what we do as dancers for this piece speaks very well.
How do you think dance can tell stories and express our thoughts, perhaps in ways other artistic mediums or live performances can't, you know, such as theater or music or film? What is it about the medium of dance that we look to?
Well, I think dance allows somebody to have their own opinion. Whereas, like, you know, if you're watching a performance with, like, a live performance of an acting piece, the words are spoken. You kind of, you'll understand the story. A story will be put in your head because they want it to be. Whereas for us, we don't necessarily say anything. There's no words. It's all movement towards, with the words of the music. So I think the audience members can kind of see what's going on and have their completely own story. If somebody's sitting beside a man, will ask him, well, what did you think of this part of the piece? And he might have a completely different story than somebody else that's sitting in the audience.
You've mentioned Kudelka. Did you get to work with Laurence Lemieux at all, who's the founder? I mean, working with who's won the Dora Award. Working with people like that, what was that experience like for you?
Well, Laurence is a very sweet lady. She has the best heart for all of her dancers. Working with her, she has a little bit more of a laid back personality, I would say, which kind of puts you at ease when you're in rehearsals, and it kind of allows you a little bit more of that movement freedom. Whereas once James comes in rehearsal, it's a lot of just do it again on the count. Come on, what are you doing? Like, whereas she's very much more, I really liked what you did. Can you try it this way? They're very different artists in that sense, and different choreographers as well. But working with both is an incredible experience.
Are there certain misconceptions that people outside of dance have about choreographers or you know, people who dance? Like, I think, you know, we all saw Black Swan, and that guy was, you know, right. you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Are there certain things that we maybe think about the types of people that you know, run ballet companies or modern dance companies that maybe aren't altogether accurate?
Right. Well, I would say probably for choreographers, from an outside perspective, you would think, especially a ballet choreographer, that they're a hard ass, that they want all their dancers to be, like, skinny, and that they're all mean, and that they treat their dancers like shit, which is very untrue. I, especially with the artists that I've worked with and the choreographers that I've worked with, they've been very supportive, which is great. And I think they have the best interest for everybody, as themselves as well, and for their dancers, which is great.
You know, I studied dance a little bit when I was young, you know, ballet, modern jazz, hip hop. And I think at least, you know, this was 20 years ago. Yeah. And I think there's probably a certain idea or a certain misconception about males in that art form.
Yeah.
Did you find that at all? And like, how do you deal with that, especially being a young male in this profession?
No, definitely. Well, I was very lucky. I went to an arts high school, actually, back where I'm from, in Ottawa, Canterbury High School. And I also played a lot of sports. So I had a big like a big guy group, you know, and they were always pretty supportive about what I did. And they actually, some of them have come out to see some of my performances, which is great. And I, the misconception for sure, when I, you know, the first thing I say if I'm a dancer is, oh, you must be gay, or you must, you know, you're a ballerina. And it's not like that at all. There's many dancers that I know that also enjoy playing sports, that also have other passions as well, not just dance. And I honestly, growing up, I never really had a problem with it. My parents were very supportive. My friends were very supportive. And I was never outcasted for being a dancer, which is great.
I do see a lot of, you know, parallels, I guess, between sports and arts. Like, you know, doing musical theater, we had a couple of rugby players, you know, in the cast. Same with choir as well. There was a lot of athletes.
Yeah.
Where do you see the similarities between athletes and dancers, and why do you think there is so much crossover?
Well, I think regardless of what you're in, there's still a lot of discipline. Dancers have as much discipline, if not more, than a football coach would give their team members. And I think also it's a control factor. Taking ballet classes, I know there's a lot of football players that take ballet class primarily because it's good for your muscles and it's good to like expand, to have breath. It's good for balance. So I think a lot of sport players kind of fall into the dance world or yoga, which is kind of similar as well, just to kind of expand their body and to feel expansion and to feel different while maybe playing sports or being on the field.
I know for myself as an artist, you know, sometimes I have difficulty focusing on a thing for more than 15 minutes because you want to do one thing and then it's like, oh no, I've got this today. Oh no, I've got this today. How much has dancing, like, you obviously have to be disciplined when you're doing that specific thing.
Yeah.
But outside of the world of dance, how much do you find that background and that training has disciplined you and focused you in other aspects of your life?
I would say it's definitely helped a lot. I want to say that I definitely have an ADD personality, so I'm all over the map all the time. And I think when I'm in rehearsal, I don't have that problem because I'm moving and it completely takes me away. And I think just have growing up in these rehearsals has helped with like focusing in school. You know I can train myself and I can now figure out, okay, well, listen to the teacher, write things down, take notes. And I think it's helped me in a lot of different aspects of my life.
What do you know, there's so much different art and different styles out there now. And I think dance and especially ballet, mm-hmm. Has maybe been accused, not necessarily guilty of, but at least has been accused of maybe being a little bit more old fashioned and a little being stuck in the past in certain aspects. Not that I necessarily agree with it, but this is what you hear sometimes.
Right.
How do you think ballet and that culture and sort of that style fits into the modern life and the cultural moments that we are currently living through?
Right. Well, I would say, I mean, ballet was the start of it all. So everything that there is now has come from ballet. And especially working with James Cadelka, who is primarily a ballet choreographer. He's recently broken into the modern world. I think there's a lot to be said about the ballet work, the ballet training. Even in Johnny Cash, even though we're wearing cowboy boots, even though the movement is not ballet movement, it's modern movement, there's a lot of technical aspects that he brings back. Remember in ballet class, remember your turnout, remember this. So I think it's still very relevant in today's society, especially when doing hard pieces like these. You still need your ballet training in order to get through the piece without dying, essentially.
You know, both of these artists were really big in, you know, the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Is that just not necessarily music, but that period culturally, was that something you were interested in familiar with it all, and is that something you had to look into when doing these pieces?
Yeah, because I never really listened to Elvis or Johnny Cash music before working in these pieces, and I think I know I'm a very different I'm a millennium, so my go to would have been Michael Jackson. You know, when Michael Jackson died, that's kind of how I would have pictured these guys. Same sort of cultural thing. You know, when Elvis died and when Johnny Cash died, it was a lot of people being upset and how society, which is kind of what Looking for Elvis is all about. It's about when Elvis died and how the society reacted to that and how many people were heartbroken about it. And that kind of happened with our generation for Michael Jackson. But when I looked back, when studying the work and looking into these artists, I found like a new love for Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash, especially over Elvis, for some reason, kind of just spoke with me. And the music that we choose in the pieces too are deep. They're deep pieces. They're deep songs. And yeah.
Do you see a lot of parallels between Michael and Elvis? Not only in their lifestyles, you know, they were both cultural icons that died young.
Yeah.
But their music as well. Like Elvis was predominantly black music until he sung. Do you see sort of any correlation between the two?
I mean, yes and no. The music itself is not very similar to each other. Johnny Cash is a lot more grungy, I would say, like raspy. He speaks more about working on your farm and working to and making sure that your father is pleased with you. And Elvis talks a lot more about sleeping with women and kind of like a different side of the issues back in the day. But I think together, having Elvis music and Johnny Cash music in one piece is or not one piece, but one show is really cool.
Right. I mean, it's funny you mentioned the death of Michael, and I think that, you know, was similar for a lot of us. You know, even though we weren't alive when Elvis died, it was sort of that type of thing. Like, we all remember where we were when we heard that Michael Jackson died.
Definitely.
Right? Yeah. And what do you think it is about people that are that high up on a pedestal that we revere to an almost mythical sense?
I got it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's just somebody to look up to. I think especially with these two artists and Michael, they were huge icons back in the day. Everybody wanted to be like them, or if you had a bad day, you would listen to their music and it would make you feel better. Somebody to kind of look up to. Maybe I'll meet them one day. Maybe I will be just like them. And when that gets kind of taken away from you, I think it's really hard for people to process. I think when Michael died, for me, it was, wow, I was just watching him on TV the other day, you know? Like, I wanted to go see his concert. I wanted to go see his next show. And that's all kind of gone now. And you kind of have to realize, okay, well, there's other artists in the world that maybe now I can focus more on. But I think that's just the problem, especially when these big icons. And now with social media, it's a little bit easier because we can like stream his music and stuff. Whereas back in the day, imagine having that icon taken away from you and then not being able to like go on your laptop and listen to his music. You know, you'd have to go and buy all of his albums again or whatever the case was. I think it was a little bit harder back in the day.
I mean, it's hard to believe that he's been gone for 9 years now. And yes, there was Facebook, but it was still very much...
Yeah.
You know, it was 2009, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember when Bowie died, because that's sort of the one that I comparable at least. Everyone was just, like, freaking out for 3 days.
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, you know, we talked about Elvis was sort of the voice of the 70s. Michael was a voice for a lot of our generation, you know, old generation, young millennials. Do you see a comparable artist or pop culture person that, you know, now that's like those guys, but for the, you know, the generation behind us?
The generation coming. That's a good question. Who would I see? Honestly, there's so many pop artists that kind of just, I feel like are singing to make music these days. If I could choose one, it would be Justin Bieber. No. No. I honestly don't know. I personally like to listen to old music. Yeah. I still listen to Nirvana. I still listen to like Jethro Tull. My dad got me into the Beatles, AC/DC. I'm more of like an old school rock and roll. If I could choose a band today, I would choose Kings of Leon just because I like them a lot. I think that they're a great band, and I like having live music. I like having artists that play guitars and drums and can put on a show.
What I find interesting, you know, and I was having this conversation not too long ago when I was in high school, which was, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, it was just a time of really terrible pop music and really terrible gangster rap.
Yes.
You know, and now I feel that pop music has been almost reborn a little bit. You know, we're seeing, you know, like people like Gaga, Perry. Mm-hmm. It's still pop music, but I think it's a little more intelligent than maybe what it used to be. And it's, you know, as someone who's sort of lived through what I lived through and is actually in a way connected to music at a more fundamental level than most of us.
Yeah.
How do you see the changes and evolution of music over the last, you know, decade or so?
I guess like you said, people are touching upon more cultural issues now rather than, you know, a lot of the pop songs for like 4 years in a row was all about making money and like going out, going to the clubs, whatever. I think now there's still so many problems with our society. I think these artists are touching upon it in, like you said, Katy Perry or even Taylor Swift. I know she gets a lot of like bad rep, but even she will speak upon problems in society today and kind of help kids through problems with social media and through body image and stuff like that as well. So I think regardless of what these artists are saying, each of them have their own target audience and each of them have people that look up to them, just like we would have looked up to Elvis and Johnny Cash back in the day.
You grew up in Ottawa, and the debate's not as big here as it is in the States, but, you know, every couple of years there's always a conversation about arts funding.
Right.
How much, you know, art should get, whether it's, you know, in schools or whether it's arts organizations, whether it's theater, whether it's dance. Mm-hmm. Why, for you, as someone who, you know, is a professional artist, professional dancer, what would you say to those who are in the power and are in the control of deciding which organizations get the money when it comes to arts funding?
Right. I would say they need to look at what the company does for the community. Not every company is going to take the money and the funding and do the right thing with it, which we can all agree on. But if they do their research and they figure out which companies are putting on the shows that people come and see, I think it's important. I mean, without money, we can't do these performances. And I think if people were to come out and see them, they're going to feel something. It's going to change their evening. For what, you know, if they decide last minute to come and see our show, they're going to leave and go home with a completely different view on their day. And maybe it might touch them for weeks, it might touch them for months. And I think getting funding like that, especially for our company, I think it's we can put on bigger shows, we can put on better shows, we can have more props and production elements in there. I think that's all. It really comes down to how much we can spend on this stuff, and right now we're doing a good job about how much. I think I don't really know how much this production costs itself, but I know that Laurence doesn't get as much funding as she would hope for.
What does dance mean to the overall? You know, where do you think it fits into the overall cultural identity of either a city like Toronto or Canada as a whole?
Right.
Or just art, you know, not even that, maybe just even arts in general.
Yeah. Well, I think if we're talking about the city of Toronto, I would say it brings an element of like relaxation to know that there's the arts around you. I think it kind of puts people at ease, even if they're not interested in the arts at all. Like, I live really close to a recording studio. I've never been there. I'm not that interested in music, but it's kind of cool to know that, you know, I live on the corner of somebody goes in there and will practice music and will record music. And it's kind of nice to be a part of that scene. And I think maybe for other people too, they have a 9-to-5 business job. And I think for them to know, oh, well, I passed by Parliament in Dundas and I've seen the Citadel and I know that they dance there. It's kind of cool and it kind of puts people at ease.
Right. You mentioned that you biked here today, and I think dance a lot more so than other art forms like acting.
Right.
You really need to, I guess, pay attention to your body and pay attention to your form. So how do you be mindful of that? How do you, you know, keep in shape, especially when you have a big show coming up?
Right. Well, I work out a lot as well, so I basically will have rehearsal 12 to 5, and then if I'm not working my other job, I will usually go to the gym for an hour or 2 hours. I bike everywhere. I bike to rehearsal. I live in a very active lifestyle. I do like to play sports as well, and doing all of these, you still, like you said, have to be mindful about your body. If something is feeling off, don't push yourself. Because we're in it for the long run and we need to keep our bodies healthy for as long as possible. But I think just the contrast of dancing and working out and maintaining your muscles, making sure everything is how it should be. I think that's very important.
You know, being so active and being a dancer, does that make you more susceptible to injuries? What, you know, are there certain, you know, and you say you play a lot of sports too, which, you know, freak injuries can happen. Are there certain things that you do to maybe guard against a leg injury, which would be death for a dancer?
Right, 100%. Yeah. Well, I think, working out can only do so much for you, especially, I mean, I try to work out my legs as much as possible because the muscles are strong. If you get hit in a certain way, it might hold them. It might hold a tendon or whatever in place better. But I think it's just playing it safe. You can't completely stop everything that you do because of dance. You know, you want to enjoy life and you want to be able to still play sports or go skiing, which I also do as well. But it's just being mindful. If you feel off, if something is feeling weird, don't push it. Don't go and play soccer that night just because you want to, you know, or don't go skiing for the weekend if you feel like an injury might occur, because like, yeah, a knee issue or a leg problem would definitely end a person's career for a dance.
You mentioned skiing, and now that winter is finally over,
yes.
And we're getting into spring and summer here. Do you have a go-to sport that you do this time of year?
Probably basketball.
Okay.
It's not like I would just play with friends. I don't play in like a league or anything.
Right.
But yeah, I like to play basketball. I still love to bike around, throw football around here and there. I think those would be my go-tos.
Are we gonna see you next to Drake at the Raptors game?
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. Imagine a switch of careers.
Yeah.
I just joined the Raptors.
It's funny that we had five Toronto sports teams playing last night.
I know. I went to one bar and literally they kept switching the music from the Raptors to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I can't focus on everything.
So my restaurant has two TVs above the bar, okay. Right? And it's got one on this side and one on this side.
Yeah.
So we started off the Leafs and the Raptors.
Yeah.
And then it went to Leafs and TFC.
Right.
The Jays and Marlies didn't even get airtight, right? It was like... you know, now I know I was, correct me if I'm wrong, but I was reading that, are you also involved with the Ace
Dance Studio?
Yeah. Company? Now you guys have, a few things coming up this summer, right?
Yes. I did one performance with them. I haven't been working with them, in the present time right now. So I'm not sure if I'm part of those performances coming up.
Yeah. Well, all it means that there's the ballet lab. And then the summer intensive, which is July of this summer coming up.
Right.
So
Those would be more, if I would be part of that, it would be more helping out with the summer intensive, like potentially teaching or choreographing, a piece from what they've performed. That would be more to target students, to help fund for the projects. Right.
Have you started getting into choreography a little bit? What does choreography bring to you as a dancer that performance doesn't?
Well, I think choreographing allows you to kind of think about things in a different way. As a performer, you're kind of told what to do and you figure out how to do it. Whereas as a choreographer, you're also figuring out how to do it and figuring out what you want to do. I will go into the studio if I'm going to choreograph on somebody and I will just improv. And if something interesting happens, I will redo it 1,000 times to make sure that I can do it every time. And then I would choreograph that and say, if I was choreographing on you, I'd be like, okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to go into this move.
Right.
And you would have to figure out how to do that.
When you get into choreography and you actually started doing it, does it help you when you're actually on stage performing, because you maybe does it help you understand the process even that much more?
Yeah, definitely. And it allows you to understand your body a lot more as well, because you know your limitations. You know what you can do and what you can't do. So you do the things that you can really well, and the things that you can't do very well, you figure out a way to make them look good.
You mentioned teaching briefly, and how, you know, when it comes to young people, how does one teach dance? Because obviously, you know, there is a skill involved, but you know, does it just come down to like, okay, this is how we plie, this is how we do first, second, third, you know, fourth position, this is how we snap and pop if you're doing, you know, hip hop or something?
Yeah.
What would you know, your approach to teaching a young person how to dance be?
A lot of descriptive words and a lot of physical movements. I know that there's a lot of teachers that can just talk and say grand plié, and if I'm a kid, I don't know what that means. I think using descriptive words and also showing the movement. A grand plié is when your heels come off the ground, you go as low as you can while tucking your pelvis in, keeping your back straight, arms in like in a broad position, and then you come back up into first position. And I think using those type of words and kind of teaching the basics before going into anything more serious is definitely important.
You know, dance is such a visual medium, and it's, you know, and something like, you know, something like ballet, people always start very, very, very young, you know. Mm-hmm. Do you, as someone who's a professional, do you think that there's a certain age that kids should start if this is something that they're interested in? You know, we always hear about like little girls, oh, they're starting at 2 or 3, but yeah. I mean, like, you don't really dance much at that age. No. Anyway, you know what?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
no, definitely. I didn't start dancing until I was 12, and I think that if you're pushed into something at too young of an early age, you're going to get sick of it fast. So I think if my kids want to dance, I want to make sure that they want to dance. I don't want to just throw them in something that I want them to do it. So I think an age where you understand what you're doing, you want to be there, you want to be present, you want to learn, I think that's when it'll take off. If you're thrown into it at the age of 2 or 3, you might be done by the age of 12. You might have other interests at that point, or you might just start learning at the age of 12. Right. You know, you might be doing these classes and then not actually know anything until you're 12 years old.
A lot of people with dance training, especially men, I find, eventually find their way to Broadway.
Right.
Is that something you've thought about at all? Something you're interested in?
I have, actually. Yeah. There's also, there's Opera Atelier, which there's a couple dancers, that I know and I'm friends with that are part of that as well, which is not necessarily Broadway, but it's the same sort of big grand performance. But I think dancing on like Newsies or something like that would be so fun. I would very much be interested in doing that.
Well, but something like one that we hear about a lot is Billy Elliot.
Right. Yeah. Wait,
could you see yourself in that?
Definitely. Yeah. Honestly, any Broadway show, I think it would be great. I think graduating and getting into these companies, I'm very like happy and complacent right now, and I don't want to do anything yet, but I think maybe in a couple years from now, I'm going to start auditioning for some musicals.
You know, dance is very expressive, and it is acting in a way, but it's, you know, very different than Broadway acting or film acting.
Right.
Have you done any acting, like in terms of auditions or, you know, school plays or anything?
I have. At Ryerson, we studied acting. So I took acting on film, and we also took monologue acting. So every once a week, we would have, we'd have to come up with a script on our own, research the script, and then perform the script in front of our class. And then with acting on film, same sort of idea. You took a script with a partner, and they would like move the cameras around and kind of teach you, like, with the cameras here, you're going to want to look to the left or whatever. What was the question?
Oh, no, it was just about acting experience and how
right.
how that sort of plays right. into the expressiveness of
dancing. I've also done auditions for, I did an audition for Kinsmet, for Hakeem Optimal, which is the glasses.
Right.
That company. I did an audition for that. So I basically went in and they gave me a script the day of, and basically we're like, okay, you're Johnny in this situation, and you want to talk about these glasses as though just describe them like you want your buyer to buy them. So it's kind of, you're improvising not as a dancer, but as a person, as an actor.
Right.
But I think that it helps with movement as well. It helps with confidence. Dance also helps with acting in the same sort of thing. I'm a performer. So if I can perform with my body, I can also try to perform with using my voice.
You know, I have improv training. Do you find that something like that, taking an acting class, auditioning, does in having, you know, learning maybe how to improvise or, you know, go off script a little bit, does that help when you're either dancing or choreographing a certain piece?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, I think the more training you have, the better, regardless of if it's in your field or not. I think it allows you to think more on your toes. So if something was to happen in a performance, like say a dancer falls who should have caught you, or somebody hurts their leg and has to run off stage, it's so quick and it happens so fast that everybody in the piece kind of has to maintain their performance while thinking, okay, what are we doing? What do we do next? Like how are we going to do it? And I think kind of having these improv classes allows you to think more creatively.
What are you looking forward to most about the Looking for Elvis and the Man in Black?
I'm excited for my family to come and see these pieces. And also my friends that I graduated school with. I think these are both very iconic pieces, talking about iconic artists. And I'm excited to perform them, and I'm excited for people to come see me in them.
Well, they run May 2nd to 5th and 9th to 12th at the Citadel Ross Center for Dance. I know you got a run, but Connor Mitten, thanks so much for hanging out for a bit.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers.
That was me and dancer Connor Mitten. Once again, his show is Elvis and the Man in Black by Citadel and Company, running from May 2nd to 5th, and then 9th to 12th. Be sure to check the show out on Facebook and Twitter at Endeavors Radio. And if you like what I do, you can consider donating to the Patreon page at patreon.com/endeavors. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next week. Bye, everybody. Bye.